Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Amen. And I want to tell somebody that it is possible. You know, it's just a mindset. You know, what I've come to discover when it comes to getting married, you know, people think too much. Stop thinking too much. It's possible. Pastor, I don't have money. We all don't have money. But by faith, we went ahead. And today we are married by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So I want to encourage somebody, you can do it. You can do it. All right? Make a woman, make a good woman of that lady that you say you love. Do you understand? Am I saying something heavy or what? If there's one thing I do not like, you know, is people who are not married calling themselves husband and wife. I don't like that thing. Some of us, Dumelo, we went, I remember when I was about to marry my wife, I said to her, go and tell your family. I was shaking. And she went and told her father, and her father said, I want to meet this boy who says he wants to marry you. Oh, I was shaking. I went and I met, and my family also said they want to see her. And she came and they met her. Then I sent my family for Lobola. I saved. I did my best. Then we went and we married. Then we organized and we fought and we got married. Then you just say, oh, my wife. My wife. You haven't done anything. My wife. Sis, man. You are making this thing cheap. Something so valuable. Something so precious. You are making it cheap. Do you understand? Those who are younger than us must look up to us and see a good example and see that it is good to marry. And our marriages must be nice. And our marriages must be sweet. It mustn't be World War III in your home. And when people look, they will say, hey, I want to marry. But when I look at that word marriage, do you understand? So I want to encourage everybody. Have I said anything wrong? Have I offended anyone? I'm sorry if I offended you, but I mean, I have not gone away from the word of God. It means you don't like the word of God. You've come to the wrong place. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, it is possible. It is possible. It is possible. Just do it. All right? And I'm talking especially to the men, because the women can't marry themselves. For as much as they want to marry, they can't. How do you marry yourself? So the responsibility is with us brothers. Do you understand? Don't overthink it. Okay? Just organize. And you don't have to have the best wedding. The problem is you guys watch that show that plays on Sunday. Perfect Wedding. That's your problem. And you are watching what other people are doing and then you are trying to match other standards. Do what you can afford. Do what your pocket can afford. And you'll be married. Do you understand? Yeah. My wife's friend, a month or two ago, got married. Is it a month or two ago? Yeah, just about a month or two ago. And, you know, they just started working and they are just starting their lives, you know, they don't have anything. So they took a decision that, you know, the Bible says that in marriage, the bed is not defiled. Do you understand? The Bible also says that marriage is honorable. So when you perform, or if you are involved, I'll call it fornication and adultery. Do you understand? Hey. Let me stand next to my wife. I think it is safer. Hallelujah. It is sin. Do you understand? Okay, let me put it so that you don't get confused. Sex before marriage is sin. is sin. The Bible calls it fornication. The Bible calls it adultery. It's sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? So just marry so that you know that between you and God, you are right. God is happy with you. Hallelujah. Some years ago when my friend was getting married, after some months of getting married, I gave him a call and I said, my friend, how is married life? Some of the things children are here, you know, I can't really say them. So I said to him, how is marriage? And he said to me, oh, my friend, marriage is sweet. He said, I can be with my wife. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can be with my wife. Yeah, I'm speaking in parables, but catch me in the spirit. He said, I can be with my wife. And immediately when I finish, I can pray. Katopa, shofate prakate, repa kapaya, kotapa lapa. Shamelessly, nothing.
Amen.
So when you are doing it, you know, you are not married, outside of marriage. You can't even come to church on Sunday. You can't even lift up your hands. This subject is heavy, I can feel it. But I must say it, okay? It's very, very important. All right? So if you say that you love the woman that you say that you love, marry her. Do you understand? And also you ladies, value yourself. Demand marriage. Say amen, please.
Amen.
Demand it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, it sounds better. Ah, my God. Say, neighbor. Sex before marriage.
Sex before marriage.
Tell your neighbor. I want to see you telling your neighbor.
Sex before marriage.
Tell your neighbor it is sin.
Ah,
but Pastor, it's 10 years now we've been together. It's still sin. But Pastor, now we have 4 children. It's still sin. It's sin. It didn't say after you've had 12 children. It doesn't matter how many children you've had. It doesn't matter how long you've been living with each other. Sin is sin. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So I'm encouraging you, all right? And ladies, don't, Lord, give me the nice English that won't offend anyone. Help me with English. Ladies, don't be loose. Happiness gave me that word in case it offends anyone. Do you understand?
Amen.
What do I mean by that? All right. The more you allow the brother to enjoy himself, he will take his time. He will take his time. So tell him that, brother, the doors are closed. They are only open by marriage.
Amen.
You don't agree with what I say? Let me come this side. Maybe. I'm talking to the ladies now. Tell the brother that doors are closed. Huh? I must tell them. But I must tell the ladies. Eh? You will tell the brothers. Put your hands together for that sister. Hallelujah. Can I talk to you freely?
Amen.
Freely, okay? I've got a message to preach, but I don't know. Sunday's celebration thing has now changed everything. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You know, We are Christians, so we must behave as such. Do you understand? There must be a difference between you and people of the world. See, people of the world, they just do whatever they want to do, anytime they want to do it. We are not like them. We have a God whom we love. And we have to honor our God by the way we live our lives. Amen. Come with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 1. By the way, today being Father's Day, you know, my sons in the house have dishonored me. They came late. All the chairs you are sitting on, half of them, I carried them. And look at the strong men that are in the church. May God forgive you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Malachi chapter 1. Can you, someone give her a mic? Let her read for me quickly. Just take it from verse 1. I don't know which verse.
Malachi chapter 1 verse 1. Mm-hmm. This is the message that the Lord gave Malachi to tell the people of Israel. The Lord says to his people, I have always loved you. But they reply, how have you shown your love for us? The Lord answers, Esau and Jacob were brothers, but I have loved Jacob and his descendants. And I have hated Esau and his descendants. I have devastated Esau's hill country and abandoned the land of jackals. If Esau's descendants and Edomites say, our town have been destroyed, but we will rebuild them, then the Lord will reply, let them rebuild.
What verse are you on?
Verse 4.
Jump to verse 6.
The Lord Almighty says to the priest, children, honor their parents and servants honor their masters. I am your father. Why don't you honor me? I am your master. Why don't you respect me?
Pause there. In the King James Version, it says, if I be a father, this is God speaking. It says, where is my honor? If I be a father, where is my honor? So the way that we live our lives must bring honor to our Heavenly Father. He said, if I be a master, what does it say? Yeah.
The Lord Almighty says to the priest, children, honor their parents, and servants, honor their master. I am your father. Why don't you honor me? I am your master. Why don't you respect me?
Why don't you respect me? God is asking us, why don't you respect him? Hallelujah. So let's honor him, okay? And stop fooling around, you know? When somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, this is someone in my life, my only question is, when is the wedding day? I don't have time to play around. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
In this church, if you go to a sister and say, Sister, I like you, it means that I want to marry you. There's no confusion here. You can't like this one, then next week you like this one, then next week you like this one, then next week. We don't play those games. Here we marry. I say, here we do what?
Amen.
We marry. So if a brother has no signs of trying to marry you, leave him.
Amen.
Sisters,
amen.
I'm talking to you.
Amen.
Leave him.
Amen.
These sisters, they don't agree with me. Namsa, come sit in front. I like your amens. They are blessing me. I need you to encourage me in preaching here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
From today, this is your seat.
Amen.
Yeah. Just continue those nice amens. They are blessing me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sisters, if he's not marrying you, leave him. Leave him. Okay? Leave him. It's wasting your time. Maybe there's another brother who's eyeing you. Who will not waste time? Who will marry you fast?
Amen.
But you are wasting time with that fool. 5 years he hasn't married you. 10 years he hasn't married you. I once heard of a true story of a young couple. The guy said this year to the woman, he said, this year is the year. 5 years later, he said, this year. True story. When they were turning 40, he said, this year. I tell you, this year. At 50, the guy was saying, this year, I'm telling you, I promise, this year is the year I'm marrying you. That guy wasted that lady's life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I want to give you some strong advice today, that take marriage seriously, okay?
Amen.
And have the mindset and the aim to marry, okay? When you take the decision that I'm going to marry, then God is going to help you.
Amen.
But the minute you are double-minded, go to James, the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1, from verse 1, quickly.
James, chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt.
What verse is that?
Verse 6.
Continue.
Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind.
Mm-hmm.
That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do.
Mm-hmm.
Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position.
Oh yeah, pause there. What verse did you just finish now? 9. I want you to read verse 6 to 8 again.
But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind.
The one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the waves, yes?
That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord.
Such a person must not expect to receive anything from God. Uh-huh.
Such a person is double-minded.
Double-minded. So it's, should I marry? Oh, I'm not ready. I don't have money. Okay, but I love her. But it's like you are not, you don't know who you are, what you are doing. Do you understand?
Amen.
Can someone read it for me in King James? What verse were you on now, the double-minded part?
It's verse 7.
Verse 7. Media, please. Who's got King James version of the Bible? Quickly. King James. Do you have?
Verse 7 says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways."
A double-minded person will not receive anything from God because he's unstable in all his ways. Hallelujah. So, you have to make the decision that I'm doing it. I'm getting married. And set a date and press on. Then you will see the help of the Lord. Media. Thank you, Mamrud. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fix this one, please. Amen. So ladies, When you see that your boyfriend is double-minded, and you see that he doesn't want to be healed of his double-mindedness, leave him. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
Leave him.
Amen.
Leave him.
Amen.
And in today's time, you know, back in the day, you know, there was this culture, if I can call it that, that men work and women don't work. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, in today's time, that is not practical anymore. And if as a woman, you don't build yourself up, you don't educate yourself, you don't grow, then what happens is that you'll always be dependent on somebody else. Even though that person is not marrying you, but because you need him. That person is oppressing you. You want to go, you are no longer happy, but you are stuck. So build yourself, okay? Yeah. Build yourself. Educate, be educated, work, grow, get promotions wherever you are working. And some men are also afraid when women are starting to develop themselves. It's a fool. You've chosen a fool. You see, you've chosen a fool. Why would you be intimidated when the woman that you love is doing well? Why? You must celebrate her. You must encourage her even more.
Amen.
Right now, I'm pushing my wife to do her master's. I don't have a master's. The highest I went is BTEC. But I'm encouraging her. Let's try to do master's.
Amen.
If one day her head swells up and looks down at me, it's okay. Me, I love God. My God loves me. It will be painful. It will be painful.
Amen.
But you know, this natural life is not forever.
Amen.
Eternity is my destiny, and I will be in the everlasting hands of the Almighty. And I will enjoy the love of Jesus forever. I don't do things to receive anything back.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
I'm my wife's number one supporter. Number one supporter. Everything, I encourage her. I encourage her. So you have fallen in love with a fool. Hallelujah. God has given you a spiritual mother and a spiritual father so that, you know, you can see something good. And you don't devalue yourself.
Amen.
So that there can be a standard to your life.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm saying these things because I love you.
Amen.
And I want the best for you.
Amen.
And if I'm saying you must leave him, it looks like I'm talking rubbish. Né? But don't remember me one day. Pastor said it. Pastor said it. I should have listened. One day I said to a certain brother and a certain sister, you must break up. Then my brother said to me, but Pastor, I'm in love. You know, when people are in love, the head is no longer working. I'm in love. Hey, my God. Never ever say that, oh, I should have listened to. Listen to me now.
Amen.
Don't say, I should have.
Amen.
By the time you are saying it in the future, a lot of damage would have happened.
Amen.
Listen to my counsel now.
Amen.
Listen to my advice now.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
Yeah. Some of you sisters, you look at around our church and you say, but Pastor, There's nobody here. Don't forget about that.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
Can I hear some faithful amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's why I was singing that song. I'm not moved by what I see. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I see. Hallelujah. You see, many people, they because of what they see, all the brothers here are young. Hey, let me go look outside and see. You are moved by what you see. Just trust God. God will bring a spirit-filled guy here who will only have eyes for you. And maybe that brother is not like, you know, the ones in the street. Maybe all he knows is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Maybe that's all he knows. But when he's thinking about you at night, he's praying. Oh God, oh God, touch her, oh God. That is his romance. That is his romance. Hey, alright, I hope somebody has received some life today. Hallelujah. Alright, I've got 10 minutes left of my time. I'm going to preach my message in 10 minutes. Amen. Today, the title of my message, which is the beginning of a series that I'll be preaching for the rest, for some time, is I'm titling this series, If I Be a Father. Since today is Father's Day. Hallelujah. And basically, I want to teach about what I call spiritual fatherhood. Spiritual fatherhood. A couple of weeks ago, Mamrut and I went to visit one of our daughters in the Lord. And while we were there, a certain gentleman came in. And our wonderful daughter said, "This is my pastor and this is my Mamuruti." Hey! Then the guy said that he doesn't call anyone pastor, nor does he call anyone Mamruti. And then he opened a scripture. I think it's Matthew chapter 7 or something like that. And he did his explanations. Then he said that, "So I will call you Booty. All right, Booty? All right, Sissy." I just kept quiet. Amen. You know, there are some people who, what you have read has filled you with pride. You are too small for the word of God. The things that I thought I knew, I'm still learning from them. And I'm seeing things that I never understood before. That's why when John saw Jesus in the book of Revelation, he said he saw the lion of the tribe of Judah. But when Jesus was about to open the book, he didn't see a lion anymore. He saw a lamb. Because whenever you are going to open the word of God, you must humble yourself. Amen. Must humble yourself. Amen. Can't be proud. Amen. You have to respect the word of God. Amen. Don't just speak something you don't understand. Amen. So I kept quiet. You know, some people, when you can see that it's just an argument and it will not bring life. So I don't have time to argue with people. Amen. Are you listening to me, somebody? Amen. Some of you argue with them so much that you even become frustrated and you don't know what to do. Just leave the fool to be a fool. Amen. You know the truth. Amen. And the truth will set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My sound is, can you just fix it? It's not there yet. Amen. So today, I want to show you, or I want to establish spiritual fatherhood. It's a biblical thing. Do you understand? Now come with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. We'll take it from verse 16. 1 Kings, chapter 19. And from verse 16. I like what you are playing.
First Kings chapter 19, verse 16.
Yes.
Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel, Meholah, to succeed you as prophet.
Amen. So God is speaking to Elijah. Okay? This is just before Elijah was going to be taken to heaven. So God instructs him and says to him, I want you to anoint Jehu, the son of who? Nimshi. Ask your neighbor, where's your Bible? Please read with us. Are you there? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16. Then God also says he wants him to anoint Elisha, the son of who? Shaphat. So can you see that Elisha's father is someone called Shaphat, who comes from a place called Abelmeh, what that word? Hallelujah. So you see, Elisha has a father. His name is Shaphat, from that area. Now jump and read verse 19 and verse 20.
So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was...
Oh, media, today you are fighting against us. It's a war. Can you stretch your hands towards the media and ask God to fill them with the Holy Spirit? We need help. Open your mouth and pray for them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul. My soul, my Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art.
How great thou art.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art. How great. Amen. Verse 19 and verse 20.
So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat.
Again, it says Elisha is the son of Shaphat. Yes, continue.
He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12 pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them.
Only up until verse 20. So you see here, this Elisha gentleman, he was busy working in the farm. As he was working, the Bible says Elijah came and threw a mantle. A mantle is a type of jacket. Threw his jacket upon Elisha and continued walking. So Elisha must have been a spiritual person because he understood what it meant. And he ran after Elijah and said to him, can I please go and just kiss my mother and so on and so forth. In other words, he was saying, can I just go say goodbye to my family? Again, suggesting that Elisha has a natural family. He has a natural father, biological father. He has a biological mother. Are you following the story? Now come to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 12.
2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak and cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan.
Amen. Now here, in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah, God had told Elijah that he's going to take him. And Elisha had asked Elijah that, can I have a double portion of the spirit that is upon you? And Elijah said to him, what you have asked for is a difficult thing. And he said, but if you will see me when God takes me, then you will receive what you are asking for. To cut the long story short, as Elisha was following Elijah, suddenly they saw horses of fire and chariots of fire. And they came down and Elijah stepped into it, and these things started taking Elijah to heaven. And as he's going up, Elijah's jacket fell. Amen. And as he was going up, as Elijah was going up, Elisha shouts, my father, my father. Amen. Now we know that Elisha has a natural father, but he's calling Elijah his father. And he says, my father, my father. In other words, Elisha had received Elijah as a spiritual father. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. Now someone may argue and say, Pastor, this is in the Old Testament. All right, let's go to the New Testament. Come with me to the book of Acts chapter 16 from verse 1. I need us to be very, very quick because my time finished when I was advising people who are not married yet. Acts chapter 16, reading from verse 1 up until verse 3.
Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived.
Can you please give her some volume? I can't hear her. Yes, take it again from verse 1.
Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek.
So here they are telling us about a guy called Timothy. And they are saying his mother was a what?
A Jew.
And his father was a what?
A Greek.
So you can see he has natural parents. All right, continue. Read up until verse 3.
The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek.
Is that verse 3? So you can see his father is a Greek. Do you understand? Now come quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 1, read verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1, reading verse 1 and 2.
1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the...
Paul, an apostle of Christ. So Paul is not a Greek. Paul is a Jew. A Hebrew speaking Jew. Has no relations with Timothy whatsoever. Okay? Take it again from verse 1.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope.
Mm-hmm.
To Timothy, my true son in the faith.
The Apostle Paul is calling Timothy his son. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1.
2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my dear son.
There again he calls Timothy his son. And we know that they are not related. But Paul refers to Timothy as a son. So it can only be a spiritual son. Because it's not a biological child. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we are in the New Testament. Are you seeing it? Go to chapter 2, verse 1.
Chapter 2, verse 1. Mm-hmm. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that that in Christ Jesus, sorry, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others.
Amen. So in verse 1, Paul refers to Timothy as his son again. Let's read the last one. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. If anyone argues about you, about spiritual fatherhood, I mean, look at how many scriptures I'm giving you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you on my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church.
Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Oh, I said for Jesus. Nontanda, go to Genesis chapter 18 from verse 17. We're going to read it later. So, of late, I was just meditating about this thing. And I was busy wrestling with the Lord. You understand? Wrestling with the Lord. Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And so I was wrestling with the Lord with regards to this subject of spiritual fatherhood. And I was saying to the Holy Ghost, and I said, Lord, the Lord Jesus put us in a lot of trouble when he said, call no man father. Because that's when you talk about spiritual fatherhood, the people just say, Jesus said, call no man father. But then I said, Lord, these scriptures are real. And Paul is saying it after Jesus had said, call no man father. And he's saying, Timothy is my son. Timothy is my son. Timothy is my son. Timothy is my son. And the Apostle Paul is not a small boy. He wrote more than half of the New Testament. And so I was saying to the Holy Spirit, you have to talk to me here. I don't understand. Why would Jesus say something that is bringing so much confusion in the church? Then as I'm wrestling with the Lord, suddenly he gave me understanding. And in this church, I always tell you that if you want to understand something, you have to go to the beginning. Someone say the beginning. You have to go to the beginning so that you can find the original intents of God. You can find what God originally wanted to happen. Because now, if you only look at now, so much corruption has happened. But in the beginning, God had an original plan. So the Holy Spirit, in teaching me, made me understand that originally, every natural father is supposed to be a spiritual father also. If you are a father, you have a child. You are not just a natural father to that child, but you are also a spiritual father to that child. Now, because of sin, many natural fathers have no relationship with God. And so God has to pick men from anywhere who will become spiritual fathers to people who don't know God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But originally, we are not supposed to be spiritual fathers. You are supposed to be a father to your child, spiritually. You are supposed to be a mother to your child, spiritually. Now, the first guy who was supposed to be a spiritual father, he failed. Adam. In the book of Luke, the Bible says that Adam was the son of God. There are only two people in scripture that are referred to as the son of God. It is Jesus and it is Adam. And in the book of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, and let us make man, in verse 26. It said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let him have dominion. And God begins to speak about him. And the Bible says, and God, in verse 27, it says, and God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. In other words, God was saying, make me more sons. I want to have sons. But in the process of him fulfilling his mandate of procreating. Procreating means that you are giving birth to another who is just like you. In that process, because he's a son of God, he must produce more sons of God. In that process, sin entered mankind. And so Adam could not produce sons of God anymore. He began to produce, the Bible calls it, sons of men. So in Genesis chapter 5, reading from verse 1 downwards, it starts talking about the genealogy of Adam. And it says that, and Adam had a son in his image, in his likeness. So the children that God, Adam was now producing are no longer in the image of God. They are no longer in the likeness of God, but they are in the image and the likeness of natural men. And so Adam began to produce a people who do not know God. And many fathers and many mothers are giving birth and are not being spiritual parents to their children. And you are giving birth to people who do not know God. You are a Christian, but you are giving birth to someone who becomes a Muslim. You are a Christian, but you are giving birth to someone who becomes a Sanghoma. How can it be? Something is wrong. What's the time? Hallelujah. Malika tupali kadria trende esindura pashanda rabadoko rozia badele gados. So the Holy Spirit taught me that from the beginning this was the situation. That God had intended that every person who has a child, that the parent must be a spiritual parent to that child. But because of sin, now God had to come with some kind of plan B, where he had to choose men and women who have a relationship with him, who will teach people they don't know, whom they are not related to, will begin to teach them the counsel of God. And they have become spiritual fathers. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to give you 3 points and I will close. What is a spiritual father? What is the responsibility of a spiritual father? You know, many people just like to be called daddy, baba, you know, papa. But there are certain things that we have to do that qualifies us, so to say, to be spiritual fathers to God's people. Now read for me Genesis 18. Verse 17 to verse 19.
Genesis 18 from verse 17. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and a powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children.
Pause there. I have chosen him so that he can what?
Direct.
The King James says command. I like the word command. Many parents, they give children choice when it comes to faith. But here it says that Abraham will command his children. He will direct his children. That in this house we serve God, the true God. He said, in this house we believe in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the living God. In this house, we believe that Jesus came down, died for our sins, and on the third day rose from the dead, and is now seated on the right-hand side of majesty, and he is coming back for us. In this house, this is what we believe. In this house, every Sunday we go to church. In this house, we pay tithes. In this house, we pay offerings. It's a command from the Father. In this house. But you see, because of sin, people who are supposed to be spiritual parents to their children, they are not instilling these values in their children. They're not. Read it again.
Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and a powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him."
The word "direct his children" means he will teach his children. Those of you who are parents, have you ever had a session where you teach your children? You teach them. Teach them. Recently, my daughter and I were having a conversation. You know, it's very interesting to watch a child grow. I'm honored by God to see my daughter grow in front of my eyes. And I pray that God will grant me life and will also grant her life to see her becoming a woman. Hallelujah. So we're having a discussion. That time she was 4 years old. And she says to me, I have to remember correctly what she said. She said to me, "There are two gods." Then I said, "No, there's one God." I said, "No, Daddy, but there are two gods." Do you understand? So we are going to and fro. Then at some point, I said to myself, let me ask her why she is saying there are two gods. And I said, "So why do you think there are two gods?" And she said, "Because there's God and there's Jesus." And I said, "Oh, I see where you are going." And I said, "Okay, my daughter, there's actually three. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." See, I'm teaching her. I'm directing her. I'm being a spiritual father, not just a natural father. I'm being a spiritual father to her. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. One time we were talking about something, and I forgot what we were talking about. You know, and she said to me, "So, Daddy, so Jesus is in my heart." I said, "Hey, he is in your heart." I'm being a spiritual father. So, one of the responsibilities of someone who is a spiritual father is to teach their children. Teach their children God's word. Teach their children how to pray. Recently, she was saying to me, "Daddy, it's my teacher's birthday. And I want to buy her a present." And that time it was at night, and the birthday is the next day. I said, "There's nothing we can do. But you can give her a present by praying for her." So I said, "Pray for her." And she was a bit confused what to do. I said, pray, talk to God. Talk normally like you just talk to any person. So she started trying to pray and just make up some prayer. It was going a little bit, but it's okay. We are starting something. Someone says spiritual father. Someone says spiritual mother. So don't be quick to say, "But Jesus said, call no man for..." I'm coming there. Next week, I will teach you what Jesus was talking about when he said, "Call no man father." But for now, I just want to establish spiritual fatherhood. What it is and why God put it in place. All right? So God said that he will direct his children. He will command his children after him. And they will keep the way of the Lord. All right? Let me give you these 3 points and then we are going to close. What is the purpose of a spiritual father? Number one, to transfer faith into the next generation. To transfer faith in God or faith towards God into the next generation. So one of the responsibilities as parents is that we must be spiritual parents. And that means that we have to teach our children to love God, to believe in God, to trust in God, so that by the time we are gone, they will continue the faith. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Even with being a pastor, building this church, having services, I'm transferring the faith to you. I'm not going to live forever. I was so happy yesterday when I came here and I found the young people, there was about 10 of them being taught by their teacher. My spirit was so happy that we are transferring the faith to the next generation, so that if Jesus tarries, when we are long and gone, through our faith, through our work, that there will be others who will continue the work of God, who will continue believing in Jesus Christ when we are long gone. Amen. Am I talking to somebody? Amen. Number two, it is to preserve the faith. To preserve is to protect it. Preserve it. That's our responsibility as spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. We have to protect the faith. We have to fight for the faith. Because if we don't, just foolish people will just come and just corrupt what God is doing. We have to make sure that the faith that our children is receiving is not a corrupt faith. I once told you that there are some people who are called feminists. Do you know what's a feminist? They decided that the Bible, why is God a he? Why is God a he? Why is Jesus a he? Why are angels referred to as a he? So they changed the whole Bible so that when it talks about God, it says she. When it talks about Jesus, it says she. You see, they've corrupted it. So we have to preserve the faith. In today's time, 2 men now can come before the pastor and say, I do. I take thee as my husband. And they say, I also take you as my husband. You see, we have to tell our children that no, this is not correct. The Bible says, and God made them male and female. There's no mistake there. It's clear. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Have I said anything wrong? No. Hallelujah. Amen. One day my spiritual father, Bishop Doug Hewitt Mills, was preaching in a church called Grace Bible Church in Soweto. And in that church, they had a superstar that was attending the church. And a superstar that you very well know. And if I say, you will know who I'm talking about. His name starts with an S. So, and then there's more. Huh? What? That guy. Do you know who I'm talking about? Don't say it too loud. Hallelujah. So, my pastor who was coming from Ghana just came to preach the word of God clearly as it is written in the word of God, not knowing that there's a high profile church member here. And he just preached and talked about these things like I'm talking now, you know, being gay and what. It's a sin. And it's true, it's a sin. Oh man, the thing went into the news. ENCA. So Missy was offended at church and what have you. But the truth is truth. And we have to protect the faith. The fact that we have a superstar coming to our church, we mustn't say, oh, hey, please don't say anything about gay and lesbian, okay? We don't want to chase them away. Just because now they are coming with a Ferrari in the car, in the church. They are coming with a big car? A Porsche, whatever. Porsche Cayenne. Is it Cayenne? Cayenne, yeah. Now, as a pastor, I have to say, shh, don't say anything about gay, lesbian. God loves everyone. Doesn't God love everyone? He loves everyone. We know he loves everyone, but still, the truth is the truth. So either the person changes or the person goes to a church where they accommodate everyone in that manner. Are you listening to me? So we must preserve, we must fight for the faith. That is the responsibility of a spiritual parent. And finally, for today, why spiritual fatherhood is important? What is the purpose of it? For the fulfillment of God's word or agenda over multiple generations. For the fulfillment of God's word or God's agenda over multiple generations. Not time to read Genesis 18 again. And I think read verse 18. Media.
Genesis chapter 18 from verse 17.
Read 18. Verse 18.
Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised.
Because what God has spoken to Abraham, it was a fulfillment that will take multiple generations before it comes to pass. Till today, God is still fulfilling it. During the week, my wife came to me very happy, and she was singing, Abraham's blessing are mine. Abraham's blessing are mine. What's the lyrics? Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's, am I singing it correctly? I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. And she said to me that she has just realized that Abraham's blessings are hers. She said she has realized that she is the seed of Abraham. So, till today, God is fulfilling what God had promised to Abraham. It's still happening till today. Till today. So for that word to be fulfilled over multiple generations, you need a spiritual father who will teach it. Who will teach it so that the next generation will be in anticipation of what God had promised. And you keep teaching and you keep teaching till God fulfills all his word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a church called the Redeemed Christian Church of God in Nigeria, pastored by Pastor E.A. Adeboye. This church, when Pastor E.A. went there, the church had probably plus minus about 100 members. And when he had been in the church not long, the man of God in the church said to him that God said that you will be the next pastor of the church. And he was very surprised and shy. And when the man of God announced it to the church, everybody became angry because there had been already people in the church, even them, some were even ordained pastors. But now this man of God says, God will take this young man and he will be the general overseer of the church. And not long after, the man of God passed away. Can I tell you that today that church is in each and every country in the world. There's about 197 countries in the world. Redeemed Christian Church of God is in each and every single one of them. One time it was his birthday and God asked him, I said, what do you want me to do for you? May God ask you what you want him to do for you. Solomon also received such a question. What do you want me to do for you? May God give you a blank check.
Amen.
Solomon asked for wisdom. I don't know what you are going to ask for. So this man of God said, you know, God, All I want is that you bless my children. And when he says his children, he's talking about his spiritual children. Then God said, gather them. And so he started a convention called the Holy Ghost Convention. It happens every month in Nigeria. The first time he held it, it was called the largest gathering of human beings on the earth. Did you hear what I say? The largest gathering of human beings on the earth. If I'm not mistaken, about 7 million people gathered in one place. And I think the following year they did it again, and about 12 million gathered in one place. Their church is so big that it's from the beginning of the church to the end is 3 kilometers. And from what, and this is their new auditorium. The old one is still there. So before COVID-19, they had a Holy Ghost convention, and they didn't have chairs enough for the people. A place that can sit millions, there were not enough chairs. And he said that, whew, I see we need more chairs. We need to buy about 3 million chairs. I said, Pastor, what are you saying? I need about 40 chairs. We are talking about 3 million. Somebody say there's levels. But you see, God started using his Father in the Lord. And through his connection with the Holy Ghost, God showed him that out of all the people who are in your church, make this one the one who will come after you. And now, through that one, because, you see, it was a difficult decision to make. Because here, these people have been pastors in the church, they've been serving God, and then now you just bring a new person. Come, young girl, quickly, quickly. Quickly, 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 quickly. And then some new person is coming in the church, younger than everybody. And you're saying, this one now, when God takes me, will be your pastor moving forward. And you look at yourself, and you look, you have a house, you have a car, and here's this young girl is now your pastor. It was a difficult decision to make, but he decided to follow the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this young girl grew the church to millions. The Redeemed Christian Church is one of the largest churches in the world. Put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you. So for the word of God to be fulfilled over multiple generations, we need spiritual fatherhood. We need it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord and celebrate him. All right, I tried to preach in 10 minutes, but I think I did it in 40 minutes. It's not too bad. Hallelujah. But I believe you've learned something, isn't it? Yeah. Now when you hear people say that don't call any man father, just it's noise to your ears. You've got scriptures now, all right? So next week I'm going to teach you, why did Jesus say call no man father? And I'm going to show you some very powerful things in scripture. Amen. Let's rise to our feet and put your hands together for the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you. Thank you.